1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Well, we saw firefighters in southwestern France battling today to contain massive forest wildfires. Britain recording its highest ever temperature as a heat wave rising from the south has settled over Western Europe. Watching the Proteas play, they certainly weren't wilting in that British heat. We saw southern and western Germany and Belgium also bracing for potentially record-breaking temperatures. And we saw for the first time a temperature of more than 40 degrees Celsius provisionally recorded in Britain, according to the Met Office. Stocks were also equally hot today, although it didn't feel like that from the start. It actually felt pretty tepid at the start following what happened on Wall Street last night and Apple, and then followed into Asia, but we seemed to brush that off as the day wore on. Petri Redlinghuis, founder of Herenia Capital Advisors, has got your market view. Petri, what stood out for you today?
Good afternoon. So I think sort of the big news for me was coming out of China that, you know, they're sort of really focused on getting back to the original way that they used to grow the economy, which was just to build things, right? We've seen a lot of Asian or Chinese, rather, sort of individuals and property investors refusing to make payments on their bonds because the construction companies have stopped building because they've run out of money.
Yeah.
And this exposes, I think, one of the world's largest banks. You know, in terms of, at least in the mortgage space, in the mortgage, loan space, in the whole world, to serious risk of, you know, if everybody sort of stops paying their bond installments, then the bank is going to have a serious problem. So the Chinese government has actually moved to say that they will support construction companies, and give them sort of a lifeline, if you will, so that they can get back to building, so that, the millions and millions of Chinese customers can start, or clients can start paying their bonds again. And it takes pressure off the banks. It sort of reignites the construction industry, and it creates a lot of commodity demand in the process. So I think that was one of the sort of larger catalysts of the market today,
right?
If we look how we traded, and that puts us, at least as South Africa, in a favorable position.
Yeah, it is a bit of a house of cards that I was chatting to Monocle founder David Buckham about during an interview on his book The End of Money, and they've done a lot of research into Chinese banking and the Chinese banking system. And what you tend to find is the so-called asset management companies come and buy a lot of the non-performing loans off the state-owned Chinese banks' balance sheets, and then they put them somewhere else. And he reckons there's a lot of this toxic debt hidden throughout the Chinese economy. And very, very interesting to see how the Chinese authorities are very much controlled by a group of men, and it is mostly men in the Chinese Communist Party around a table, this command and control capitalism with Chinese tendencies, communist tendencies. It's all very concerning when you see what's going on underneath. And we also see that China is reporting new COVID cases. They've jumped to almost 700, so there's still some concern around COVID in China. I want to come back, though, to the sentiment in the market. We saw the Bank of America Merrill Lynch Fund Manager Survey today, and we see cash levels rising to their highest in more than two decades. In fact, you've got to go around to almost the global terror attacks to see the last time that fund managers were this bearish. They're almost so bearish that it must be bullish, Petri.
Well, I think going opposite the sort of sentiment extremes has been a very reliable shorter-term trading strategy over the last couple of, well, since, I guess, people have been measuring it, really. And you're quite right. Sentiment is absolutely in the doldrums. Cash holdings are going up. Short positions, short interest is also growing. What is interesting is just the general open interest of sort of futures contracts is declining at a very rapid pace, particularly in the U.S. And what else, I guess, so there's a lot of different sort of opposing data points, right? So you can also look at, what the retail trader is doing. So the average man on the street, inflows into the S&P 500 have not stopped, even though the market route has, the market's come off something like 22% or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Inflows from the retail sort of segment of the market has been fairly steady through all of that. However, the smart money, quote unquote, hedge funds and so on, are increasing short positions, while, larger sort of mutual funds are increasing cash positions. So everybody's singing a different tune. So it's a very confusing time. I think one of the biggest drivers, I guess, of markets for the remainder of this month, at least, will be the results coming out of the U.S. corporates, you know, over the next couple of weeks. The next 2 weeks is packed with earnings, and I think that, you know, whatever the tone is set there, if we see a broad, across the board, sort of contraction in corporate earnings in the U.S., I think the sort of S&P is in a bit of trouble, and we might see it coming down another 10 or so percent.
Yeah, and that's why, you know,
obviously the opposite is true.
Yeah, of course. If it's
earnings shoot the lights out.
Exactly, which not many are really betting on, are they, at this stage? I think the Refinitiv data had pulled in the average earnings down from just over 6% to just below 6%. You know, that's kind of mid-single digits. It's nothing to really write home about. And overnight, we saw what happened after Apple became the latest major tech company to rein in hiring and spending plans. And that just adds to the evidence that even Silicon Valley stalwarts are worried about a recession in the coming months. And so I think that really spooked the market late in the trading day. But then we woke up to Chinese stimulus and, well, hey, presto, everything's right in the world again.
Everything's all right again. And I think that's basically what we've been doing for the last sort of two or so weeks, where if you look particularly at the S&P, it's been in, well, I wouldn't say a tight range, but it's been in a range where we have, you know, 2% up days, 2% down days, you know, and really wild weeks, but no actual direction for the last two or so weeks, right? And this is, I think, as the market's trying to grapple with, well, what's really happening. And I think what breaks this range that the market is in at the moment is essentially the overall outcome of earnings. Do we have, on average, a beat of earnings expectations? Because, as we know, the actual earnings don't matter. It's how the earnings compare to what the market was expecting. So do we have an average beat of expectations or an average disappointment versus expectations? And that, I think, you know, dictates the direction of the market for possibly the rest of the quarter.
And what we're seeing locally is some deal activity starting to hot up again, and the big one obviously being MTN announcing on Friday that it's keen on Telkom, a big play for its fiber assets. And we know the thing about fiber is that once your competition has laid down fiber, it's a land grab. That opportunity for you is pretty much gone, and OpenServe seems to present a very attractive proposition from that perspective. The market saying that a deal probably looks unlikely at this stage. If you see, Telkom rallied initially on the news, but we're back below 40 Rand, and I've seen some valuations of Telkom north of sort of 65 Rand a share. So that's telling you that the market probably doesn't believe a deal is going to happen at this stage. What do you think is the outcome here?
I mean, I think that there's a big chance that this deal might not make it through the Competition Commission. Just because, you know, we're trying to open the market to more players to create more competition and lower prices. We're not trying to consolidate the market and kind of create, oligopolies, where, you know, price is sort of dictated by the big firms and no one else can really compete, and we, the consumer, are the ones that are stuck paying the bill. So I think that that could be one of the sort of drivers behind, well, you know, it's a great deal, it would be awesome for Telkom shareholders, but is it going to be better for the broader market, you know, or the best sort of, you know, outcome for the broader market in terms of pricing power? Probably not.
And what we saw, just having a look at that regulatory story, there was a memorandum of agreement that was signed between the competition authorities and ICASA back in 2019 that this specific M&A transaction would require approvals from both authorities because it includes a transfer of spectrum license. And clearly that is significant at the moment. And we also saw back in 2015 the Competition Commission prohibiting a RAN sharing agreement with Telkom and MTN on the grounds of a duopoly, basically, and that market structure was not something that was to be encouraged. So I really struggled to see how they could get this particular deal through, considering those regulatory hurdles, unless you sell off all the really attractive bits, which would then bring into question why MTN would want to do a deal at all. Because if you look at it, you know, based on the 13 billion rand that Vodacom paid for its 30% stake in the CIVH FiberCo, it looks like an attractive offer. I mean, CIVH is worth 44 billion. And if you look at the EBITDA currently, Telkom's OpenServe does EBITDA 4.2 billion. So if you MTN, you're buying OpenServe from Telkom effectively at the current share price below 40 Rand. I mean, that's a steal to get OpenServe's EBITDA. But then to just give it away because of the regulators, I just can't see the reason behind doing a deal of this nature. Petri, there was another interesting deal announced today. Ascendis Health is on track for its best day in 7 months after reaching terms on a 410 million rand sale of its pharma business. The latest financier.
Interesting. I'll be honest with you, Michael. I haven't actually had a look at that just yet, so I can't really give too much insight around that.
No problem. No, that's fine. Ascendis Pharma is one of those that's been in financial distress for some time. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how the market reacts to this one. And one of the interesting individuals around Ascendis, Gary Shane, has also been fingered in that Scorpio report around misappropriated UIF funds. So it's one of those companies that, well, there's certainly too many red flags for my liking to ever even take a nibble. And we also saw an interesting trading statement for the year from Supergroup. It's up 8% on the back of this, saying that its results are going to be significantly better than what we saw last time out, an improvement of roughly, well, it looks to be between 25 and 35% better. And I think it just goes to show you that the South African consumer, Pietri, is a little bit stronger than many analysts give the consumer credit for.
Yeah, and I think we can see this. I mean, it's obviously fantastic results for Supergroup, but it's also, I guess, reflective of you know, the post-COVID recovery. I mean, it's now this, you know, post-COVID story is getting a bit long in the tooth, perhaps. But you know, our economy took a real hit from the COVID lockdowns, and then, you know, we had a series of riots, and then some flooding, and a whole bunch of really terrible things happening all at once. And it seems as though, you know, even though employment isn't necessarily back to what it was pre-COVID, but the GDP is, so economic activity is again picking up, which is potentially, you know, a good sign going forward. I think South Africa is actually rather well positioned from a value perspective compared to some of our international competitors, in form of other countries and economies. And, you know, I think that, if you look at sort of economic activity, yes, the shape of the economy is changing a little bit. More people are working from home, more people are having things delivered to their homes rather than going to malls and that kind of thing. But in general, you know, life is sort of returning back to what it was pre-COVID for most people. And that's starting to reflect in sort of all sectors of the economy.
Yeah, and tourism is another one that is set to bounce. We've got a couple of good pieces of news with airlines flying directly between the US and Cape Town. You're starting to see it in the likes of City Lodge and their vacancy numbers. All of that, imagine what we could do if we could just keep the lights on to ride this bounce. And as you say, there is certainly value if we do manage to solve for that particular problem amongst South Africa's small and mid-caps. Petri Redlinghuis, founder of Herenia Capital Advisors, with your Tuesday Market View here on Hot Business.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.